Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's coming around to it. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamike.
Knees weak, palms are sweaty.
Oh, I have everyone reciting the Lose Yourself lyrics to me in the middle of a break right now, like I don't know them by heart.
We need you to prove it, but continue. Get us paid.
Hey, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And listen, we've got plenty coming up here as the show goes along right now. The college football playoff had some interesting non-news yesterday, but the fact that it needed to be addressed was something. And one of the people who addressed it might even be a bigger story. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes here. But, Jhené, it was obviously a monumentous day in a lot of ways yesterday. Some things that we definitely need to talk about that are a part of everything that is going on in the world right now. And an iconic college football player also said goodbye yesterday, but what he leaves behind could be just as important as what's coming up ahead. And so when we get to things like this, we need to get off our chest. We decide to do it in a thing called One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
And no, my one and done is not going to be me reciting the lyrics to Lose Yourself right now.
I think it should be
you
at one
monsters.
Point.
Monsters. Not point today. Maybe at some point, but not today. No, instead today, I want to lean into this. Trevor Lawrence made the announcement that he was going pro. He said his goodbyes and his thank yous to the Clemson Tigers after finishing last night in the Heisman voting as a runner-up in here now. We had Trevor Lawrence on our show yesterday, and we got to talk to him about some things that are not just the football legacy he leaves behind. A record with only two losses, a national championship, and plenty of other great moments along the way on the field. No, Trevor talked to us yesterday about his role in being a leader off the field through the many different events and difficult events of this summer.
Pretty much like a day or two to just try to organize everyone, and I honestly didn't do as much of the groundwork as a lot of other guys like Darian and some other people, so I can't take credit for that. But just all of us getting on, you know, Zooms and FaceTimes and discussing things and how we wanted to go about it, what our next steps were. And just trying to put that together as fast as we can, just trying to beat the clock on whether or not these schools will start or conferences were going to start calling the season. So we were kind of a race against time, and obviously it worked out, and it was cool to be a part of.
And Jhené, most people will look at this and remember the We Want to Play movement, where his voice, where Justin Fields' voice, and so many players rose up to try and get them back onto the field in a way that these players all desired. We saw multiple player movements pop up, what the Pac-12 players did in the Big Ten, coming out and asking not just to play, but the things that they wanted in addition to that. We heard Trevor Lawrence's voice lent to the topics of racial injustice, of police brutality and inequality in this country this summer on behalf of some of his teammates. And while he said and admitted and was humble enough to say, I did not do the groundwork of this in the way that a lot of his teammates did, what he did was provided the cover. And this is the thing that I hope becomes the legacy for Trevor Lawrence, that other top players, specifically quarterbacks in this game, in college football, recognize that in a sport where its players have not traditionally had a voice, college football quarterbacks have a unique opportunity when they've got resumes like Trevor Lawrence to be able to give their teammates cover to help make meaningful change. That is meaningful change in the way that athletes are treated and the voices are heard relative to their use in the sport, and certainly the things that matter to them outside of the field, off the court, and in their regular lives. And I hope that can be something that others see, not as an ending, but just the beginning of better things to come.
And I will take the baton and carry that over, because we're seeing this happen in different sports in different ways. And what Trevor Lawrence was able to do this season as he transitions to the professional ranks is really amazing. And speaking of the professionals, and I'll just preface my thoughts by saying that this topic is going to be discussed because there is a direct tie to the world of sports and the athletes, specifically the world of basketball and the WNBA, using their platform to try to create meaningful change for their communities. Now, the WNBA's Atlanta Dream, their co-owner, has publicly oppose the movements that were critical to the league, even so much going so far as feuding with her own players on the subject. Now, no matter the outcome of yesterday, the state runoff election for Georgia, these are the facts as reported by the campaigns, which are public information for all to see. I remember on August 4th and 5th, in the middle of the league's wobble season, which as a member of the WNBPA, and you know this, Junior, I was always on my phone with the group chat trying to figure out what's going down. The players from all 12 teams wore black shirts with, quote, "Vote Warnock" on them, supporting Reverend Warnock as a message for the league to see. And immediately after that, we saw $240,000 in online donations, 4,000 new donors within 72 hours after the WNBA's demonstration. Now, Reverend Warnock since then has raised more than $100 million since October, which basically shows a direct correlation where the WNBA has helped raise his national profile. So the women of the WNBA, tag teaming with Stacey Abrams, played the game obviously on the court this season, but they also organized and served as catalysts for driving the vote in a Senate election where it had significant, you know, ramifications for this country. So those are the facts. That's how it's presented. And that's why a lot of people are talking about, you know, the WNBA and what they were able to do both on and off the court.
And Chiney, I think it's just that. I think everyone on the outside gets it twisted when they look at what athletes decide to lend their voices to. And they say, well, you're going to alienate so-and-so, or you're going to do this to your ratings. A group of people decided something meant enough to them to where if that was a possibility, they were willing to risk it, that their beliefs and that the beliefs of you and your peers in that league were enough to go out there and act. And I don't know how that's not an admirable trait as we look out at the people that we care about and the people that we would all like to believe we can be.
And, you know, when I talk about the WNBA, a league that I belong with, I always tell people, and this is one thing that I think makes me the most proud of being a part of the WNBA. You look at the WNBA and literally we are like a global league. It's the best of the best. 144 women get the opportunity, one of the most competitive jobs to play in the WNBA. People from all over the world come and compete, and that's their lifelong dream. And I always say this, and forgive me because I'm going to sing, but like in the WNBA, you have like, I'm every woman. You have every kind of woman you'd like to see in the W, and in the moments there, you still saw, no matter what they believe, no matter what side of the spectrum, their background, what they look like, whatever the case is, they decided that standing together in solidarity for one another, when one person's hurting, we're all hurting, that's what actually mattered most, and that's what I always tell people, that's the most beautiful essence of the W.
It is a truly beautiful thing, and Chiney, it would not have been nearly the same had you not found a way to sing yet again in the body of the
segment.
You're
right, that's on brand, on brand.
It is extremely on brand. Is it a day that ends in Y on the show, but it is important, and I am glad that it happened. Now, Chiney Ngola Jr. is brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Now, while all of that great work was being celebrated last night, we did have what felt like a bump in the road for the world of college football yesterday. How much concern should there be about what ended up being a non-report? We'll get to that and what I found out was the most hated character in television that I had never heard of before. We'll do that next. It's Chiney Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
It better not be a cartoon.
Chiney Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Turn it up if you need it today.
Yes, we need it. It's spiritual. Actually, today should be gospel day, please.
Chiney Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
He was waiting for me. He knew I was going to take the bait.
I know if I wait long enough coming back and we're bumping back any song that's got any sort of heat on it, if I just leave enough silence, Chiney will eventually fill it by singing.
You're telling me we finish each other's sentences. Okay, keep going.
Chiney Ngola Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Now, we'll get to an update here from the college football playoff because this is more about an update that we got yesterday that there wasn't an update, which is always strange to me because then it makes me wonder how close we were to an update about the status of January 11th college football playoff national championship game. We will get to that, but Chiney, earlier today, I still can't get over the fact that we got to talk to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
We did.
It was a very kind of starstruck moment, and we talk about this all the time. Working in this job, you tend to normalize being around really famous, successful people in a way that every once in a while I have to kind of slap myself and remind myself that this is wild, the people that we get to run into on this one. And Chiney, I don't know if you have like someone that's really got you starstruck, because I have my worst instance around here. One of my biggest regrets at ESPN was towards the end of Mike and Mike, when I was doing First and Last from 4 to 6 leading up to that show, I would always read the guest list off before of who was coming up later on Mike and Mike. And one day I looked down and I saw Jon Stewart. And I said, oh, they must mean Jonathan Stewart, the running back for the Carolina Panthers in studio. Why would John Stewart, host of The Daily Show, be coming to ESPN, forgetting all of the things he did with the Invictus Games and working with the ESPYs? And so I didn't think anything of it, and I went home and just walked home like an idiot that day and read John Stewart in studio thinking it was Jonathan Stewart.
What?
My dad calls me up later on, and he goes, I can't believe you didn't stick around after the show. We had John Stewart in studio. He talked about how he would catch your show on his way to work. He said to tell you hi, and to this day, I cannot stress enough, John Stewart, if you are out there listening right now, open invitation for life. You can host the entire show. All I want to do is say hello to this man. So, Chinee, is there anyone that inspires that level of starstruck fan in you that you've come across? Because you're a big-time public figure, so people might not assume that this is something that happens to you.
Yes, two thoughts. Before then, I feel like I love, you know, Back in Your Mic and Mike days. We have to at least acknowledge all the tweets that we get. Ogwa Mike and Mike, like, people always talk about how our show should be renamed that.
Fair point.
That was hilarious.
That's a fair point.
Two, my instance, I guess it was two things. One day, you know me, I'm based in LA, and so I'd fly all the time out to do appearances on Get Up, First Take to New York. And so when I'd go to New York, I would always time out and I always hit my people up and be like, hey, who's coming in? Like, let me know what's going on. So people would always let me know, like, who's coming through the building, what the energy is like. Maybe we could steal people's time, you know, get a snippet of content. My friend who, you know, who works here at, shoot, I'm going to put her on blast. Kayla Johnson.
Yes, get her.
And Zeria Loving, both amazing workers here and people talented with their jobs, being able to connect the dots and bring us at the intersection of sports and society. Kayla Johnson and Zeria Loving both knew that Meg Thee Stallion was coming the day before I was scheduled to fly out, and they did not tell me. They're like, oh, well, we didn't know if she was going to come in or not. What? Like, the potential, you should have told me that Meg Thee Stallion was there, because I would have flown out a day early. I always fly out her. Sorry, I'm emotional.
No, you know what?
I was mad about that.
Chinee, this is a good reminder that clearly, based on these two stories, we need better friends and family.
We do need better friends.
Because, like, they would not let this stuff happen to us if they truly cared about us in these situations. So,
and I will tell you, the one I got excited about was also in radio when I got to see Deontay Wilder walking down the hallways, and I saw him walking. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Yeah,
hello. Who is that? But, and keep that same energy, so stay with us all the way to the end of our show. I will tell you the big celebrity sightings that I've had at the same place twice in Los Angeles.
Chinee Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, by the way. Your biggest celebrity miss, or the most starstruck you've ever been meeting someone? Because it's a very rare thing. Again, when you see people around, most people are very normal, but every once in a while, you meet someone that's just built a little different. Now, built different, clearly, both the teams are going to be facing off, Alabama and Ohio State, in the national championship game. And this is interesting, Chinee. You and I were on the air yesterday, and we saw from Adam Rittenberg, our own ESPN college football writer, that there was a story coming out about the status of the college football playoff.
Yep.
And it was a story saying that there had been discussions, there have been reports coming into ESPN about discussions to push the game back to January 18th because of COVID issues within the Ohio State football program. But executive director of the college football playoff, Bill Hancock, said that the game remains on schedule. That is what we've heard, full steam ahead. Chinee, how much trouble do you think Nick Saban's daughter got in for the tweet that she fired off in that meantime? Because it was tweeted, deleted, and apologized for, but said, if you're not confident to play, then say it. I call BS on the COVID cases. They're just worried about their QB and want him to have more time to heal. If he's hurt, put in your backup. You didn't see us postpone the rest of the season to wait for Waddle. Bye. She put out a statement apologizing for that yesterday. Obviously said she felt terrible bringing up COVID and saying those things. But, Chinee, I can't imagine that is something that is easy to walk back when you've got to answer to somebody like Nick Saban.
Absolutely. 100%. When you make a mistake, not just making a mistake to your parent, but that parent also being Nick Saban. Yeah, that's problematic. And I think, like, can we just agree that she understood, even though, and it probably was a heat of the moment thing, she understood that she made a mistake. She took it down immediately, put it out there. We can agree on that, right?
Yes, we can absolutely agree on that. And like, first, and she said, I made a huge mistake. I apologize. In a moment of frustration, I let my anger get the best of me and acted before thinking. I sincerely regret my reckless choice of words. In no way did I intend to undermine the seriousness of the global pandemic, and my heart goes out to those affected. The health and safety of others is first and foremost, and I pray that we can all find peace soon. I am ashamed and embarrassed. I hope you can forgive me.
And in this season, I think that's one of the big things that you have highlighted, Junior, better than anyone else, talking about, hey, when it comes to even negotiating to have this season, the college football season, we were trying to figure out whether, you know, if someone tests positive, who's going to be telling it? When will they make it known to who they're playing against? All of those things have been hitting the coach's table and how they're going to handle it in a way that promotes the most fairness. So again, this creeps up in one of the bigger moments. And obviously, she has acknowledged her mistake. And so I'm a forgiving person. Like, anytime you're in the heat, and we come from families too, Junior. So I think it's always funny because a lot of times those heat of the moments, especially when it comes from family, like, I am the type of person, if something happens to my sister, I am the first line of defense. Now, the mistake we make, especially in society, is we run to social media instead of running to who we should actually talk to directly to address the situation. And that's what creates bigger problems.
And honestly, the problem that's at the heart of this whole debate is an incredibly complicated one, Shanae, because I've looked at the situation and said, if it did come down to a situation where Ohio State had a number of positives, it was going to so adversely affect the competition of this team that they were missing entire position groups. All the things we talked about this season that could postpone games, why would you not for the last game of the season?
Exactly.
But then you think about the complications that come. What if in that week's time period, someone from Alabama contracted the virus? Now all of a sudden they're down key players because that extra week is extended. And they're looking at the powers that be saying, well, you just did this for Ohio State. Are you now going to turn around and do it for us? It's not to ever say that these solutions are easy when we talk about being flexible, moving. But I just believe that all need to be considered. It can't be as easy as, well, so-and-so is out and you just need to go forward and play no matter how many people are out. We know we're making this all up as we go, and so stopping to consider all the options is smart, not to undersell how difficult and complicated all of this is. So those are certainly the things that are at stake with the college football playoff. Shanae and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Now, it's going to be very interesting to try and measure, talking about who's missing, what we can expect from wild card weekend from the Cleveland Browns. How will Kevin Stefanski's absence affect this team? We'll talk to somebody who knows, and we'll do that next after this word from DraftKings.
It's been an exciting football season, hasn't it? So exciting, apart from my fantasy football team. Now, luckily for us football fans, there's still more action to be had. You may not have been crowned the champion in your traditional fantasy football league, but DraftKings is here to help you make it rain. DraftKings is America's leading daily fantasy app, paying out over $7 billion, yes, I said billion dollars, to their players. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, no luxury tax, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. If you haven't signed up yet, what in the world are you waiting for? Get in the game right from your couch, right from your seat, right from where you are. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use code CJR. For a limited time, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on this week's action. Enter code CJR to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code CJR only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Where do we really stand heading into the NFL playoffs and wild card weekend? The answer after this. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Got a lot to talk about coming up here in about 10 minutes. The futures of two very talented young quarterbacks and what we're hearing about both. Why you got to listen, because when you listen close enough, you can hear a pretty clear plan being presented for two teams in very different spots. But before we get to that here on Shanae and Golic Jr., we're delighted to be joined now on the Goodyear Hotline by our ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly Martin with us here now. Kimberly, how you doing?
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're doing about as well as everybody can,
I know.
I'd imagine today.
Listen. I know sports is the best distraction and sometimes feels insignificant, but I'm glad I can talk to you too, because you guys always cheer me up. So
we're glad you can spend some time with us today, Kimberly, and we really appreciate it. And it's one of the places I think where life and sports have intersected so much has certainly been the way the virus has been impacting sports leagues this year. And it leads us right to Cleveland, Kimberly. We've heard the news. No new positive tests in the latest round of testing for the Browns, but Kevin Stefanski, their head coach and play caller, going to be out for this Sunday's wild card game. So from what you've heard, just how deep are the ripple effects felt now that the Browns do not have their play caller going into this all-important game?
You know, deep, but Kevin Stefanski, he's that guy who's going to be stoic. He's that guy who, you know, tested positive for COVID and is still telling reporters, you know, when they ask him, how are you? Like, how do you feel? Like, what's going on? Like, listen, I don't really want to talk about me. It's not about me. Like, I'm more concerned about, I feel fine, but I'm more concerned about my guys and my coaches. And I think, you know, I covered the Browns-Steelers game last weekend in Cleveland, you know, and I spoke to him before the game, the night before the game, about not having Bill Callahan, long veteran O-line coach, not having his assistant O-line coach, and not having players due to COVID. And he's like, look, I told the guys from the beginning, we have to be able to hit the curveball in 2020 and 2021. We have to be able to deal with the unexpected. The fact that he now has COVID, you know, and is about to face the biggest game in his career, Baker's career, like Joel Bitonio, another guy, you know, longtime Brown, who won't get to play because of a positive COVID test. It really is heartbreaking for the city of Cleveland. But Kevin Stefanski has always maintained that level of, you know, he's almost like monotone, like that's not like unaffected. And I think they need that more than ever, because being down so many guys and additional coaches, their tight ends coach, like all these people, it is a big deal. But he can't let his players feel like that. They have to know you guys are in good hands. The virtual workouts and meetings is enough for us to win.
Kimberly Martin here with us, ESPN NFL reporter on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And Kimberly, can you sort of take us behind the scenes on what it really is like, especially for Kevin Stefanski having to do a lot of this, prepare for a moment that Cleveland has been waiting for so long, but doing it virtually and not being there? And then also to follow that up, Kimberly, have you talked to any players about the advantage or disadvantage on either side of the ball that this situation presents?
You know, the players I talked to, you know, I talked to them when the news first happened, like when we first heard, you know, yesterday that Kevin had tested positive for COVID. And the reaction was just like stunned, because, you know, one player told me, like, I couldn't believe it. He always wears a mask. Like, he is somebody that takes the COVID protocols so very seriously. And even today, Kevin Stefanski said, he was asked, do you know how you got it? And he said, no. So I think for the players, it's, you know, and you know, the another message that I was given from players is, hey, we got to find a way. And Kevin Stefanski reiterated that today. So what, you know, when I talked to Kevin Stefanski last week before the Steelers Week 17 game, he had said, you know, it's really important for these guys to almost sound like me, you know, like I have to get my message, like all season it's about, he spends a lot of time preparing and thinking about what his message will be before a game, what he'll say. And he's like, that was the thing that I didn't realize. I knew I had to do it as being a head coach, part of the job, but I didn't realize how time consuming it would be, because I really do think, and I joked with him, like, it's almost like a preacher before his Sunday service. Like, I mean, you know, what do I want to say? Like, what's the message? What's the takeaway for the congregation? He's like, yeah, it kind of is. And I think his message all season has been, whatever happens, you know, this season is not going to go the way we want at times, but the true test of who we are and how we show what type of team we are is in those moments of adversity. And I think what you're hearing behind the scenes from players and the players that I talk to over text and on the phone is, we just we got to be able to figure it out. And that's their charge for Sunday.
Kimberly Martin with us here on Chenea and Golic Jr., our ESPN NFL reporter. Now, Kimberly, if we're talking to the congregation, what is the message about the Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? Because I have seen so many picks from our experts here and so many talking heads saying that there is no player under more pressure going into this postseason than Lamar Jackson. So I'm curious, is that being felt right now in Baltimore?
You know, Lamar is somebody, as we know, who from day one, before the draft, from the combine, has faced a crazy amount of scrutiny and criticism, right? Lamar is somebody who, despite what he says, is fueled by the critics. I don't think he's any different from a lot of us. You know, when people don't think you can do something, you there's a part of you that competitor in you wants to prove people wrong. But I don't think it's the pressure like he's going to press in a game. I just think he's his own worst critic in a sense. He's his harshest critic. So he knows what's at stake. And he even said that today, you know, like, listen, I understand 0-2 in the playoffs. Like, we've been favored. We've been the higher seed and we get bounced early. And I was at the Titans game when they got bounced. And, you know, that whole team thought it was going to the Super Bowl, you know? And I think right now he understands what's at stake. But one thing he mentioned I thought was interesting was being the higher seed and having 2 weeks off and going into that game and feeling like a little rusty. I felt like he was like, I wasn't as quick. I wasn't as twitchy. Like, I didn't feel like, you know, when the game started, I just didn't feel like myself a little bit. You know, I think them having to win so many games in a row just to even make the wild, you know, get that wild card spot. I think this is a different Baltimore team from a standpoint of they're not the fit. You know, people aren't like, ooh, Baltimore's coming. It's like, all right, we beat you. Like, let's see what you got. And I think Baltimore being the underdog or feeling like people gave up on them or like, is Lamar really the guy? I don't know. Is he going to be able to win in the playoffs? I think it's good, but he's got to prove it. Like, he can't say anymore, like, I can win in the playoffs. Like, just do it. And this Titans team knows that it can beat the Baltimore Ravens. It's done that. So this is going to be a really great matchup this weekend.
I think it is one of the most exciting matchups. And I think it's a great point about the Baltimore Ravens lead up. Since that Dallas Cowboys game in prime time when Lamar came off the COVID list, there's been a very different football team and a dangerous one going into the postseason. Kimberly, we appreciate the time and the insight so much. Thank you. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
all
Tim.
All right. Talk soon, guys.
Kimberly Martin with us, our ESPN NFL reporter. Great information there about the teams that are getting ready for the playoffs. So we've got a lot of time to get to that. We've got a couple of days left in this week where we'll get to preview the wild card weekend. Huge wild card weekend. We get three, and it's going to be a ton of fun. Three apiece for this weekend. But coming up next, let's shift our gears and take a look at the teams that have big decisions going forward. It's a tale of two quarterbacks. And why all of the decisions that come down to this can be explained in just a few words. We'll get to that and why people hate Caillou so much next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Caillou.
I can't imagine, probably not since the time when we played Baby Shark on the morning show, have we triggered more parents at once with what we did than just now. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. Janae, what? Janae, I see the consternation on your face. What's wrong?
Why did you have to say Baby Shark? Because now I'm going to be thinking of that for like 5 months.
Janae, because
I haven't thought about it for a while.
It is an eternal bop. I don't care what anyone says about that song. It is a banger, a toe tapper. It slaps. You can vibe to it, whatever you want. Baby Shark has got it.
You want to know something funny? In the Sparks, what we call our rookies. Oh, no. Don't do it. Oh, is that the remix bop?
Uh-oh.
Oh, was that your, like, oh, you're trying to, like. Baby Shark. Look, again, Woo! We are Janae and Golic Jr. We know that today is a rough day, and we're all trying to make it through together.
Listen.
And we are here to bring that positive energy and just breathe.
I was going to say, it is a nightmare fuel day for everyone living in America right now. We all can look outside, look on the news, and see what is going on right now. It is brutal to see. It is not the version of this country that we thought we lived in, but we have to reckon with the fact that it is. And we got some things that we got to address around here because of that. And so that is all going to happen. That is the real world that we can't walk away from right now. And so we are trying to come on here and see if we can talk a little sports and give people some laughs in the meantime while that goes on. And, Janae, the reason any of this even got brought up to begin with, Baby Shark or any of it, is because PBS announced that they were canceling the show Caillou. And I had no idea. Usually we see in the world, we know where the battle lines are drawn. I had no idea the hate in their hearts that parents carried for this cartoon, and in particular, this character in Caillou. My timeline was flooded with people that were so happy to rid this kid good riddance. It's unreal.
Oh, really, Caillou? I thought that was you when you were a kid. You guys bear a striking resemblance.
This is where you wanted to go. The low-hanging joke of ball jokes for this. The low-hanging fruit on that. You monster.
Oh, okay. We'll hopefully work to get a picture of Caillou up next to a still of.
I don't want a picture of Caillou. I don't look like Caillou in this, and I certainly don't like him.
But I was just saying, you were probably mad just because you saw Caillou and you saw everything that you just did not really want, especially from, like, you know.
I had no idea, apparently, what a whiny little kid he is, the bad message that he sends. I mean, parents did not pull punches in speaking about this children's cartoon. It's a reminder, this is what parents have to endure when they sign up for this. So you and I.
And I got
right
a small
now.
Thingy right here, since you brought up Baby Shark. As you know, rookies on our team, the Sparks, we call them Baby Sparks,
Yeah,
so that was our favorite thing. So
an
go ahead,
absolute jam.
Hell no.
See, you know what? No, you know what? I support Baby
Cliff,
Sparks around here.
Thank
We're
you.
Not gonna get any Baby Shark or Baby Spark slander around these parts. Now, getting back to the usual messaging here, Chinee, because the one thing I was genuinely interested today coming in, because we're in the middle of a week of sports, but we heard a couple of different GMs talking about their young quarterbacks here. I want to read you a couple of the things that were said here about two young quarterbacks whose careers appear to be at very different points. Tua Tagovailoa of the Dolphins and what we're dealing with right now in New York with Sam Darnold. So, Chris Greer, the Dolphins general manager, came out and told Josh Tolentino of The Athletic, "I want to be clear, Tua is our starter." That's what he said about a team right now that has a young quarterback who may not have performed up to the level of some of the other quarterbacks, a young quarterback who, on a team that has now the third overall pick in the draft by way of Houston, thought they might have had some questions in all this. But we had Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, on yesterday, who said she didn't think it was likely that this happened, and Chris Greer came out and backed it up.
Miami's going to have to consider, is it worth it if a team is intrigued by, you know, a Justin Fields or a Zach Wilson college quarterback set that three spot? Can we get a haul to move down? Do we want the haul, or would we prefer Oregon tackle Penei Sewell? So, you know, they have to weigh all of those things against each other. Like I said, I don't think they're going to move on after this season, and I think it's way too early to evaluate Tua. The only way I move on if I'm Miami is if I think one of those two quarterbacks is obviously better. And I don't know. I don't believe that's the case, frankly, based on what we've seen.
And so, Chinee, you hear a very clear message from Chris Greer on this, a guy who could play this close to the vest if he wanted to shroud what they were going to do with that third pick in mystery. Compare that to Joe Douglas, the GM for the Jets, who said this about Sam Darnold. "Look, we've got decisions to make. I think Sam's going to be a great QB. I'm excited to get a head coach in here, go through that process. I had a great conversation with Sam. I won't get into the specifics. I think Sam has a very bright future in this league. We're going to get a head coach in here. We're going to get together. We're going to talk about a few decisions. I'm excited about Sam." That does not sound nearly as clear, Chinee, and you know this. If they don't love you, eventually you will find out. And this seems to be, in my mind, a pretty clear distinction of a team in the Dolphins that wants their young quarterback around still and a team in the Jets who is willing to listen to what the future might hold.
But you also have to think about what the supporting cast that the Dolphins have really right now. And you have a special teams that can turn points, a defense that can turn points. And I think, like, Tua, before his last start, you know, where there are three interceptions, a lot of people will look at that. But prior to that, I think he only, like, turned interceptions on 0.9% of his plays. And so if you just add a weapon potentially and build around him, I feel like you can transform that team. And also, like, we forget about the fact that, okay, some of the starting, you know, quarterbacks in this league, Joe Burrow, even how Justin Herbert started, they had a full season of transition and full buy-in, and Tua was dropped in the middle of that as well. So I feel like the Dolphins sort of have more wiggle room, as you said, and there's much opportunity when it comes to the Jets as well. But where did they get that pick from? You know, the Dolphins?
They got that from the Houston Texans.
And who have they not interviewed? The Texans?
Eric Bieniemy right now is reported by Adam Schefter. They are the only team that has not reached out to request to interview or interview Eric Bieniemy.
It's our life!
That has a vacancy right now. You can't make this stuff up, Chinee, right now. I feel for your franchise. And
now you see what I have side pieces.
Yeah, no, you know what? It's becoming abundantly clear. I used to give you a lot
Thank
of grief
you.
For that, but seeing that tweet from Adam Schefter about the Houston Texans, again, being the only team with a head coaching vacancy not to request to interview or interview Eric Bieniemy. Oh, no, baby. What is you doing right now?
So,
a lot of people asking those same questions about Cleveland. What do the Browns do, and how can they overcome losing their head coach for this playoff game? We'll do that next.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.